Welcome back to a fundraising edition of South Florida Arts Beat here on 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Hello, Ed Bell with you. Please keep our pledge lines ringing while the show is on the air. The conservation and education-based Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden now offers a new venue that will feature art, music, and their rich cultural and botanical exploration history. Here's Judith Bishop to tell us more.
Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden is an 83-acre oasis on Old Cutler Road. Fans call it a Garden of Eden, a place where the mission is to preserve tropical plant diversity. The garden first opened in 1938 under the watchful and enthusiastic eye of its founder, Robert Montgomery. He named it after David Fairchild, his good friend and a champion of collecting tropical foliage and saving it from extinction. The garden was designed by William Lyman Phillips, an associate of legendary park architect Frederick Olmsted. Here to give us an insider's view of Fairchild and its exciting new art center is Chief Operating Officer Nanette Zapata. Nanette, welcome to South Florida Arts Beat. I think you'll find it interesting to know that a few years ago on this program, we reported on a poll, what is your favorite tourist attraction in South Florida? And number one, numero uno, far and away, was Fairchild Garden. And ever since then, your organization has been on even more of an upward trajectory. You're undergoing a renaissance at this time, and one of the big happenings there, of course, is the new art center. Tell us about it, its origination, and what we can expect from it once it opens in April.
Absolutely. And thank you for having me, Judy. It's always a pleasure for Fairchild to be with you and to experience this renaissance with your listenership. I think Fairchild is really a fantastic cultural destination for South Florida. It's the oldest cultural institution in South Florida. And the Arts Center is really a capstone for what has been described as an art experience for the Botanic Garden world. During the Renaissance, gardens and artists were merged. They were the muse. The garden was the muse of the artist. And sometime after that, gardens became walled off spaces and a little bit more colonial. And only within the last 15, 20 years has that experience been removed. And now the garden is once again the muse. And I'm really pleased that Fairchild has been leading that charge so successfully over the last 12 years.
We have an excellent reputation, not only here in South Florida, but nationally as well. And now, as you say, the capstone is your new art center. What are you going to call it, and what kind of programs can we expect to attend there in the near future?
So the art center is called the Adam Rose and Peter McQuillan Art Center, and it is named after the donors who are, of course, supporting this incredible infrastructure and programmatic endeavor of the garden. And among the many things you can expect are works on paper, concerts, theater, movies. Really, it's a house where art will reign queen. And it's going to be terrific fun, and we'll have a lot of programs and a lot of curatorial experiences for anyone who wants to enjoy the arts.
Are the films and the concerts going to have some sort of a peg to flowers, palm trees, gardens, or is it going to be more generic in approach?
I think it really depends on what is proposed. I think one of the things that we're mindful of at Fairchild is that we're really a gateway. And one of the things we really like to focus on is the ability to be very broad in our ability to attract people to the world of botany, so to speak. And so one of the things we like to do is keep attractions and keep activities and exhibits very broad-based and then lure people with those into the garden and then teach them about the importance of conservation, botanical heritage, eco-literacy. And all of those things happen as a result of our ability to pull people through. And so it really just depends. We've had terrific artists, sculptural artists over the years, and a lot of the times they've had fantastic works on paper that we have not been able to exhibit. Now we can. We've had one of the things that we're working on is a partnership with O Cinema and have streaming performances of, say, the Bolshoi and a musical performance at the same time at Fairchild. So there's a lot to be done and there's a lot to think about. And I think the broader we think and the wider we think and the more innovative we are, the better the performances and the output will be.
In the past, you've been very innovative with visual arts, the Chihuly, the Liechtenstein, they were fantastic. And I know they attracted large, large crowds to the garden and introduced people to Fairchild, perhaps. Do you have anything of that scope coming up in the next year or two?
We do, and we'll be able to make an announcement right here exclusively in a few months. I promise we'll come back and tell you. It's a big one.
Okay.
We're just not quite ready. I don't mean to be a little coy about it, but we're not quite ready, but it's going to be huge for sure.
Well, we'll look forward to breaking that news right here on South Florida Arts Beat. Fairchild is a place of beauty and serenity, but it's also a science lab of sorts, known for its botanical research. And you've forged some alliances with the University of Miami, FIU, and the University of Florida. What kinds of joint ventures are you doing with those academics and scientists and botanists?
The beauty of science education today is that Miami, in particular, is having a tremendous effect in removing that dreaded brain drain that happens. We have so many talented students right here in South Florida. And if they have an interest in science, sometimes they have to go away. They have to study in universities that are not necessarily local. And in partnerships with these local universities, we're able to keep those students here. We're able to create the environments that they need to study tropical plants, science, the botany of the tropics. And they're able to then become scientists right here in South Florida. And how that all happens is this fantastic education pipeline program that starts at pre-K and runs all the way through graduate school. So we have students from pre-K through graduate school getting postdocs at Fairchild all the time. And so we're single-handedly responsible for 200,000 students a year becoming contacted with science, tropical science, botany, and conservation. And it's really a remarkable story when you think about the importance of the role that a botanic garden has. To be able to deliver that kind of success is really incredible.
So you approach it from many, many angles, a serene place of beauty, a tourist attraction for a Sunday afternoon, a botanical laboratory, mm-hmm. and now an art center. Lots going on there. I think most people think varieties of palm trees, perhaps, when they think of your gardens, and that's certainly center stage. But there are many exotic herbs and your fabulous orchids. In fact, it is the home of the American Orchid Society. A little apocryphal story. When I lived in New York for many years, getting an orchid was rather remarkable because they were so prohibitively expensive. And down here, you can get one on a truck for $10 or $12. Tell us about the variety of orchids and what it is, other than the climate down here, that makes it so conducive and orchids so plentiful.
I think biologically, we're all drawn to flowers, to colorful flowers. I think it's something ingrained in our evolutionary biology. And orchids in particular, they have a sensuality and a mystery to them that is really universal. I think everybody reacts to them. Even if you don't know plants, you find the beauty. And I think biologically, I think we're also lured to beauty. And I think there is not one unattractive orchid that anyone can necessarily point to. So the fact that we have this budding relationship with the American Orchid Society, that's just remarkable. And this great new orchid collection that we didn't have a couple of years ago. And orchids are now part of our ecology, just like palms and our hardwood trees are. It's really incredible. Now, you link that with our mango collection, our fruit program, our palms, our cycads, the incredible landscape design, and you really have a world-class botanic garden, unlike anything else you can find certainly in this country, but certainly in the world.
You're absolutely right. There are many, many botanic gardens, but only one Fairchild. We thank you so much for joining us today on South Florida Arts Beat.
And thank you for having me. It's my pleasure.
Fairchild Garden is open every day but Christmas. The grounds usually open at 7:30 in the morning and close at 4:30. But the shop, tea house, and festivals have slightly different hours, so it's best to get the latest information by logging on to fairchildgarden.org or telephoning them at 305-667-1651. For South Florida Arts Beat, this is Judith Bishop.
Judith Bishop is a television journalist who has covered breaking news, politics, and the arts for WABC and CNBC. Please stay with us. South Florida Arts Beat will return in just a moment. Thank you. Before we go, let me mention that USA Today recently launched their 10 Best Reader's Choice Best Public Garden Competition. 20 gardens in the U.S. were selected as nominees, and Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden is one of them. Fairchild is asking the South Florida community to cast their vote. To do so, go to 10best.com. /awards/travel/best public garden to vote through March 31st. Voting is free and there's no need to register. Winners will be announced on April 2nd. Good luck, Fairchild Tropical Botanic Garden. Thank you so much for your kind contributions made during the show. They act as a vote of confidence for arts coverage here on WLRN. We'll rebroadcast South Florida Arts Beat tonight and every Friday night at 7 o'clock on our WLRN Extra HD channel. Tune in on your HD radio or go to our website at WLRN.org for more information. That's today's fundraising edition of South Florida Arts Beat. We hope you enjoyed the show. I'm Ed Bell, producer and host. Our theme was composed by Mike Levine and performed by Mike and Sam Levine. Paul Leary is our online producer. Thanks to our technical director today, Andy Wagner, and our contributor, Judith Bishop. Please call us with your comments, 305-995-2258. You can fax us your event information, 305-995-2221, or email it to us at info@WLRN.org. We'd like to hear from you. Monday at this time, Topical Currents with hosts Joseph Cooper and Bonnie Berman, Monday at 1 o'clock. Have yourself a great weekend, and please, as always, keep your dial set right here to 91.3 WLRN and 91.5 WKWM. Until next time, this is Ed Bell saying bye-bye. Enjoy.